Today's episode is very special because today we have Keisha Blair with us, who is a known author. Her current book, Holistic Wealth, is touching many lives, and she's going to talk a little bit more about that today. She's also the founder of the Institute of Holistic Wealth, as well as she has a podcast named Holistic Wealth. We're really blessed to be here with her today, and she's here to give us some wisdom on holistic wealth. So please, Keisha Blair, introduce yourself to our audience and let them know a little bit about your background.
Great. Thank you. It's good to be here. And yeah, so holistic wealth, I started this journey years ago. And as you mentioned, right now I host the podcast, the Holistic Wealth Podcast, and I'm the founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. So back in 2019, the first edition of the book was released. And since then, you know, in 2020, we launched the updated and expanded version of the book. And, you know, it's been a journey. It's been a journey because what started as just a concept that, I developed based on my personal story has now turned into something much bigger, much greater. And of course, now, you know, it's my mission and my purpose to share it with everyone. So I'm glad I can be, you know, on this podcast today talking about it. But yeah, I'm a trained economist and I've worked in the field of, you know, economic policy and, foreign direct investment, that type of thing. And so this journey that I've been on has really been a blend of both my personal and professional experience and really just giving messages to women that they need based on my experience and based on what I've seen, you know, in terms of women and, you know, our money and how we basically, you know, our views around money and the messages that so many women have received, negative messages about money. But it's not, as you know, holistic wealth, and we're going to get deeper into that. It's not just about money. It's so much more than the money, you know, which is also important for building resilience, for building our mindset, and for living a balanced lifestyle. So I know we're going to get deeper into that, but it's a wonderful concept, you know, and it's so in touch with the times we're in and kind of what everybody's feeling, especially coming out of COVID-19 and where we see our physical health and our mental health, and of course, our financial well-being, as well as our spiritual health. So absolutely important, I'm sure, and it's so relevant to everyone.
Thank you so much, Keisha. I'm happy that you were able to emphasize that holistic wealth is not just a finance aspect. It has a whole thing to do with the mind, body, and spirit. So I'm very excited for us to dig deeper into that throughout this interview. So my first question would be, what are key principles from your book, A Holistic Wealth, that our audience can apply from a more holistic approach when it comes to their well-being?
Yeah, so absolutely. So the book outlines key principles. And I know you started on getting into that, into the book yourself. And so one of the first ones that I would emphasize is that principle of harmony and balance in our life. And I know so many people are feeling overwhelmed. And if, you know, they're not overwhelmed, they're stressed out, they're anxious, whether it has to do with our personal finances or whether it has to do with just being overburdened and stressed and feeling like we're on a hamster wheel on a day-to-day basis, just incorporating that principle of harmony and balance in our life is so important. And I know, you know, given that whole movement towards self-care, we hear about this every day. But then holistic wealth is also intentional by design. So how do we then become very intentional about this in our lifestyle, in our everyday life? And I always, you know, remind people about the holistic wealth method and the holistic wealth mindset. And so, as I outlined in the book, each of us makes 50,000 decisions each and every day, from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep. And as you can imagine, most of those decisions are just based on habit, right? What we eat, what we wear, the route we drive to work, you know, even what we say, habit, and it's very unconscious. So we have to be very conscious about thinking about rewriting those scripts that don't serve us. And so when I talk about the holistic wealth method, and this is what helped me in terms of, you know, overcoming some of these very issues that I mentioned just a while ago, like stress and burnout or grief, was just thinking about on a day-to-day basis, what can I do to fill my holistic wealth bank account? What activities enrich me? What activities, you know, deplete my holistic wealth bank account? And so what we want to do is focus on filling up our holistic wealth bank account on a day-to-day basis. And so the book outlines more about that. But that principle of harmony and balance and merging the holistic wealth mindset with that just gives us an opportunity to do that more intentionally. And so each decision that we make, there's an opportunity to say, well, how am I enriching my holistic wealth bank account by doing this activity, by eating this, by hanging out with that person, by doing this job, by doing this activity? And then we could become more intentional every single day. And that's one way of managing all the stress and overwhelm and burdens and even our finances. So that's kind of one principle that's outlined in the book. I think there's 6 principles in total, but they're all so important. But I feel like if we're talking about something that if listeners want to get started today, that's something that they can do with just minimal effort, just thinking about what we do intentionally and thinking about how we can then enrich that holistic wealth bank account.
Yes, I love that, Keisha. You have covered most of the thoughts that I was having when originally reading your title, Holistic Wealth. So I know about holistic health because I'm a holistic advocate through my story of overcoming my health through holistic medicine. But I love that your title emphasizes the importance of holistic wealth, because outside of just taking care of our health, right? Outside of being intentional about other things that we do in life, we don't approach our finances the same way as if we're doing half the work. And I love that your book just pushes that, the importance of holistic wealth as well as other aspects when it comes to your mental, your spiritual, and overall your intentions in approaching life. So my perception of what holistic wealth was when I found out about your book was just a healthy perspective of approaching finances, looking at it from a mental state of stress and so on. So can you let us know what holistic wealth means to you?
Yeah, sure. So holistic wealth, and this is how I defined it in the book. In the introduction, I laid out that framework. And basically, it's that combination, that those critical aspects of our mental health, our spiritual health, our financial well-being, life purpose, or relationships. All of these things combined help us to be more resilient and able to overcome the challenges that we face in life. And to me, that's what holistic wealth is about. It's not just about, you know, one or the other. Like each aspect reinforces the other one. And they're really needed in, you know, in combination with each other for us to live more holistically wealthy lifestyles, for us to be more resilient, for us to be able to overcome these setbacks that come our way. And so holistic wealth is also a framework for overcoming these setbacks and a framework that helps us live with purpose and with meaning. So it's all about a life well lived, which is chapter 1 of the book. And it really goes from there in terms of, well, okay, what does a life well-lived look like for you? Because each of us have a different purpose in life. And so it's different for everyone, but those are the key critical aspects of holistic wealth.
Yes, yes. And when reading that first chapter, that's what I took from your book. Just be more intentional about how you want to approach life. Because I see that in some families, even in mine, that when we think about finances, right? At times, it's not from a positive perspective, because it could be either growing up in poverty or it could be your own perspective about how you see finances. Mm-hmm. And would you say that being raised in poverty or just experiencing poverty, whether it's through our own personal experience or through viewing others that have dealt with that, that having that negative notation towards finances can impact how we approach holistic wealth?
Yeah, absolutely. So I also teach at the Institute on Holistic Wealth. I train people who've gone through money trauma. And I know everybody's thinking, well, what does that have to do with money trauma? Well, when you grow up in a situation where there's lack and scarcity of resources, it can absolutely cause money trauma. There are studies that show that kids who grew up in famine or kids who grew up in war zones where there was a lack of resources and just trauma, lack of safety and security also adds to that trauma, that absolutely it causes that negative view of of money. And not only that, but the negative messages as a result of the environment can reinforce that. And so absolutely, our mindsets are shaped from an early age. We know about epigenetics, where, you know, pregnant women can pass on certain genes to their kids. And on the Holistic Wealth podcast, there's an episode on that where we talk about epigenetics in detail. But absolutely, that can affect our mindset, can affect our views on money, can affect even our tolerance for taking risks and taking on, you know, an investment mindset that's needed. For instance, if you're launching a business or you want to scale a business. So it can absolutely, and it's good that, you know, people listening in can be self-aware while they're listening in to think, you know what, did I experience that? And how has it impacted me? In that trauma of money course, I also teach people to think about, you know, life disruptions that they've experienced from childhood to now and chart it. What have been these disruptions? And, you know, if you think about them financially, what were the impacts in your life? How did it impact your views on money? And there's a personal financial identity quiz on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website that can also pull out some of that as you're answering the questions you're going through. And several people have told me this after they've taken the quiz, that as I was going through and answering the questions, like my childhood was coming back to me and my behaviors and my views on money and was coming back to me as I was answering the questions. And it absolutely gives you an idea of kind of, you know, how your mindset has been shaped. Whether it's been environmental because of others around us, but absolutely that can impact your views on money.
I completely agree. And I've always thought that, but I'm happy that you're able to emphasize, yes, it does impact how you look at money. So that's why my approach when thinking about finances, I try to just think positive, because, you know, stressing over it doesn't really aid us in, you know, continuing to grow as individuals. So as the founder of the Institute of Holistic Wealth, what inspired the creation and what unique programs do you guys have?
Yeah, so absolutely. So when the first edition of the book came out, that was in 2019, women who were in the financial field came forward and they said, well, we want to become certified holistic wealth consultants. We want to be certified in this method. And these are women who were already financial advisors, training other women in finances. But they said to me, your book opened up our eyes to so many things, even beyond the training that we receive, because there's so many things in our training that we, you know, weren't able to help other women. But through your book, we're seeing how we can do that better now. So they came forward and they were like, we want to become certified holistic wealth consultants. Can you draft or can you give us the tools to do that? So at the time, the institute didn't exist. I didn't have a certification program. As you can imagine, this was my first time even writing a course, let alone a certification program for women who were already in the field as financial advisors. So it was daunting, but you know what? I took on the challenge because they wanted to help women more in their communities. They saw the gaps with financial advice. As we know, the numbers with the ratios of men to women in the financial industry, very low, very, very low. And so women are not getting the help they deserve in the language that they speak in terms of even the values that they hold when it comes on to money. So that's how the Institute was born. I drafted, like I wrote that certification program and started certifying women. And they were asking me, you know, now we're certified, we want to do holistic wealth workshops. We want to have a way to get the message out there in a practical format. So we started doing that, getting people able to do workshops and deliver it with material, taking bits and pieces from the certification program that they could distill to people. So it was a process. And then now we have up to 10 courses. Some of them are going to be launched soon. Some of them are not fully launched yet. But on the website, you'll see a range of courses. And so this started really organic, ground up, with people who came forward to ask me. When I wrote the book, I thought, yeah, maybe I'll do a course. I don't know. Maybe at some point. I had no idea women would come forward and be like, we're ready. We're ready now. We need to be certified right now, because there's things in your book that even as financial advisors, we didn't know. And we're learning for the first time. So we have to give women, based on your experience, we have to equip women with this kind of knowledge. So that's how the Institute was born. And as I said, we've grown in terms of, you know, the courses. We have Global Holistic Wealth Day coming up on April 9th, which is amazing. And I'm hoping everybody who's listening in will join us on social media using the hashtag Global Holistic Wealth Day. But it really was, you know, an organic movement that started with women who came forward and they were like, listen, even beyond the Institute, like I'll, you know, launch my mission around this, or I will basically help to do whatever I can to get this message out there. So it's been really a lot of community coming around this, a lot of women saying, you know, this has resonated with me so much and I want to work with you to, you know, get it to women in a broader format, in a broader scale.
Thank you so much, Keisha. I do love your mission and how you give back to the community. So I can definitely relate with those women wanting to, you know, be more knowledgeable within that field and want to take advantage of your course. So would you say your course is online or is it in person? How long is the program for someone looking to be a holistic wealth coach?
Yeah, sure. So it's online. It's some of it, the content is part video-based. There are, of course, readings and lessons and assignments. And just to say that regardless of your background, it doesn't matter what field you're in, what industry you're in, you know, anyone can do the certification program. Of course, the book is required reading for that, but it's written in a way where it's accessible to anyone wanting to help themselves and then help others. And even if you're just doing it for yourself to build your own holistic wealth portfolio, that's fine. Or if you want to be licensed to then train other people, earn an extra income, skill your own business, add another dimension to your coaching or to your existing business, regardless of what it is, that program helps you to do that. And of course, there are several other certification programs like the Holistic Healing, the Trauma of Money, and there are a few others that are on the site where, you know, they really, really complement each other. And so we have women becoming master consultants, having done like a combination of three or four of those programs. But yeah, it's available online. People can go on the Institute on Holistic Wealth website and check it out. The requirements are there. As I said, regardless of your background or history or profession, you know, anybody can take the course.
I agree with you, especially, you know, us as women, it's very important that we're knowledgeable about finances and that we approach it in a healthier way, because you never really know what's going to happen as far as the dynamic in a family. And most importantly, it's just very important to have that skill set in hand just to be of service to your family or those, you know, just in your life. So I'm happy that you emphasize that. It doesn't matter whether you have a degree or whether you don't, it's still important to be knowledgeable about holistic wealth. And I'll definitely give your course a try, and I'll definitely let my family know to be knowledgeable in that area. So thank you so much for, you know, inspiring us to still be educated in that department. So by balancing physical, mental, and emotional well-being is a critical aspect of our life. Do you have any advice on how one can achieve in balancing all those aspects?
Yeah, I think we touched on it like in the first part of the interview a bit, but absolutely. I mean, there's so many things when we look at our lives on a day-to-day basis, there's so many ways that we can assess for ourselves, kind of where we're lacking, where we're coming up short, and then implement, you know, whatever practices we need. So whether it's self-care, whether it's exercise, whether it's eating healthy, whether it's, you know, learning a new skill, there are always ways that we can, you know, like find more balance and harmony in our lives. And I always say this, when we're walking in our purpose, which is one of the other courses that we're launching soon, when we're walking in our purpose, there's more of an opportunity to find that kind of restful space, because you know you're walking in your purpose. You know that you're doing something that's part of your mission, it's critical to your mission. So it kind of takes away a lot of the stress. Because I'm hearing from so many people who tell me, I'm so underwhelmed in my life. I feel like I'm not living my purpose. So I feel like I'm going through day to day just, you know, meaningless. And so we need to assess all of that in our lives, like take an inventory, write down, you know, the Holistic Wealth Workbook. There's a Holistic Wealth Personal Workbook available. It's online. And it actually walks you through the steps to identify your values in life, then craft your personal mission. Because that's also part of, you know, finding that balance and that harmony in life. So many of us get stressed and anxious and worked up and feeling imbalanced because we're really not walking in our purpose. We're really walking in the footsteps of somebody else, or because society says to do this, or because we feel we felt at one point that we were supposed to be going in that direction, but we know we need to be going in the opposite direction. And so there's always a chance to change that direction, change that trajectory, then, you know, go in the direction that you need to be to find that more purposeful, meaningful life. So there are several steps. And as I mentioned, the Holistic Wealth Workbook is a really good tool along with the main book to kind of find more of what you need to be doing, where you can assess in your life kind of the gaps and exploring those feelings, you know, about why am I feeling imbalanced? Is it that I need more time to explore my hobbies, more time to explore what my purpose is? So there's a whole process around that. And I know it takes time. But the first part of doing that is taking the necessary steps and just being self-aware enough to even admit, you know, that this is where I'm at. So I know I need to take steps to course correct. And, you know, self-awareness is a critical aspect of that. So it's good when we reach the point where we're like, you know what, I need to take a step backwards so I can assess where I am.
Just mindful, as you said, mindfulness, just accountability and just being present with oneself is very vital. But thank mm-hmm. you so much for sharing all of that wisdom with us. I know at times that it's hard for some of us to connect all those aspects of what requires us to be whole. And I'm very blessed to have read your book and to learn how to balance all those things through holistic wealth. So I know we spoke a little bit about people facing burnouts and stress and, you know, at times just being hard on themselves when experiencing those things. What approach from your books would you say would help just manage those stressors?
Yeah, it's unbelievable when we're faced with, like, you know, any kind of crisis where we feel we have to take a step backwards and assess where we are. It's important to, though, and, you know, doing what I did, like I know what I did and in, you know, in terms of holistic wealth and the principles, what we need to kind of get back in touch. But spiritual self-renewal is a chapter in the book, and I haven't gotten a chance to touch on that yet. And I mentioned in the book that spiritual self-renewal is kind of the nucleus that energizes our purpose in life. Part of that is listening into our intuition, which, you know, is like that inner GPS that tells you, you know what? I've been feeling this way for so long. This is why. But we haven't been listening, really listening to that inner voice. So, you know, whether it's taking a step back to assess what, you know, what needs to happen in terms of that change that we need to make to deal with that burnout, whether it's, you know, taking a step back, whether it's a toxic job, a toxic lifestyle, not getting enough rest, not getting enough sleep. I mean, we really need to assess what's causing that, you know, in our life, the burnout or the stress or the crisis, and really dealing with it in a very, very practical way, intentionally, and really writing down those steps. Journaling helps a lot. You know, I journaled through the process after my husband died, and I had to, you know, recover from that grief. And also, I took a step back from work. And I know not many people are able to do that sometimes, but how much time can you take then to really get the time that you need to recover? Because sometimes that's the drastic action that we absolutely need to take to heal. And I know in the book, you know, as you read, I laid it out, like I packed up everything. I packed up the job. I packed everything in a 40-foot container. And I was just like, I'm out. I have to do this for myself, for my sanity, for my health and my well-being. And that decision is what led to this path that I'm on right now. So can you imagine, had I not done that, what would have happened, right? And because I took that step back and made that sacrifice, and it was a huge sacrifice. Everybody said, you're crazy. You'll never recover from this. Why are you doing this? And of course, I had doubts. But this is what led to this framework, to this message, for me to be able to share this message. And had I not done that, I don't know if you would have had like a Keisha Blair being able to talk to you in this way. So that's the importance of every one of us taking that step that we need to actually figure out what we need to do, because everyone has a purpose. And one of the principles of holistic wealth is purpose. And a lot of burnout happens because we're not walking in our purpose. Burnout happens sometimes because we're completely in misalignment. And sometimes I know people think about burnout and they think, yeah, it's just because I'm not getting enough sleep, or I'm not getting enough rest, or I need to do more self-care. No, it's because you're in total misalignment with the path that you were meant to be on. Because each of us, and I thoroughly believe this, and I laid it out in the book, we were born to manifest a certain purpose here. And once you're out of alignment with that, there's no peace. There's no harmony. There's no balance, because the universe is saying to you, you're not on the path you're meant to be on. Hello. You need to take a step back to assess where you're on so that you can be on that path. So for all of those listening in, all of those people listening in, like, this is the work that needs to be done. Sometimes it's not about more self-care and more wellness. Sometimes it's about more purpose. And that's the message that I drive home to everyone. And in the book, I think it's the first part of the book, the first part of Holistic Wealth is driven towards intentional life purpose. And there's a reason why there's a whole part. So the book is broken down into four parts, and the whole first part is driven towards intentional life purpose. And there's a meaning behind that. It's because this is what basically sets the tone for our lives and sets the trajectory of our lives. So absolutely, you know, take those steps. And the spiritual renewal chapter, I think, is really good too, because it sets out how we can take a step back in terms of exercising more gratitude and mindfulness exercises and, you know, prayer and spiritual renewal, just renewing ourselves, getting rid of those negative messages so that we can clear the mind, really, you know, focus on what we need to do to set our lives on a better path going forward.
Yes, Keisha, I love everything you said as far as manifestation, being intentional and having purpose. And what I'm learning in life now is, you know, although I was able to manage my health, I wanted to balance all aspects of my life and, you know, just having purpose, because at times we struggle, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain things that we just focused on and certain things that we lose focus on, or life happens, or we feel burnt out. But as you said, to find purpose is to engage in manifestation. To feel whole is to really be attentive to one's mind, body, and not just practice, oh, I'm burned out, let me go to self-care, because that's just the surface of it.
Right.
As you said, deeper level of it is just really attending to your spirituality, your mental home, and all aspects of what it takes to be a whole person. And I love that you emphasize it's not the surface, is not just skincare. You have to go in. And thank you so much for just sharing that with us. So is there, I know that what led you to create Holistic Wealth is your personal story. And you spoke a little bit about that earlier today. Mm-hmm. For our listeners that do not know your story, can you just speak on it a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband died from a very rare illness. This illness is so rare that only 1 in 1 million people get it each year. Most doctors will never see a living case of it in their lifetime, only in textbooks. And he died of that very sudden. So this was 8 weeks after I gave birth to my second child. He came home from work one day, felt a pain in his side. We rushed him to the emergency room, and 3 hours later, he was pronounced dead, just like that. We had no inkling that he was sick, that, you know, anything was wrong. And it took them 1 year to do the autopsy. They had to, you know, get a team assembled from both the United States and Canada, a team of pathologists, to examine the case, because this was like a medical mystery. Because as you can imagine, most doctors have never seen it. Even the chief coroner who worked on the case, who I quoted in the book in the first chapter. He said, you know, Keisha, this is not something that we see. We get trained for it in med school, but we never see a living case of it. Never. Most doctors will never see it. It's so bad that when I took my two young sons to get tested, the pediatrician who ran some of the tests said to me, save this in your phone because most doctors won't know how to test for it. They won't even know what test to order from a biochemical perspective. So as you can imagine, going through that experience, I remember walking into the hospital room with my husband living and breathing and walking out with a white plastic bag 3 hours later with his belongings. Can imagine going through that experience thinking, what just happened? Why is this happening? This was 8 weeks after I gave birth to my second child. And I thought there must be a deeper meaning. Clearly, this experience can't be for nothing. And so that's why I personally had to take a step back and assess kind of what I would do with this. What does this mean? How would I then translate that into something that could possibly help other people? But even in my mind back then, I wasn't even thinking about helping anybody yet. I was thinking, how do I even go on a day-to-day basis? Because I was now a single mom of two boys. And how would I go on with my career, day-to-day living? I don't know, childcare. I had practical questions to ask myself. So that's basically the story that led to this, because that was the impetus for me taking a step back and wanting to not only build up my resilience, but also after a while to help others do the same. So really my personal experience and my professional experience really gelled together to kind of bring across this framework. Because then when it comes on to female empowerment, which I became very passionate about, because when I became widowed, it became clear to me that most women would either be widowed or divorced by a certain age, right? Like we outlive our spouses by at least 15 years on average. But yet still, most women, we go throughout life, not only with a gender pay gap, right? But we go throughout life not maximizing, not through our own faults, right? But not being able to maximize the resources we have around us, whether we're in a job situation and we're not getting promoted at the same rate, or we're not getting recognized for our work, whatever it is. It's the same thing with business, like whether you're at work or you're launching a business, the same thing. So, and I was doing it in my work as an economist. That's exactly what I was working on. So I, you know, just basically started writing, and it wasn't Holistic Wealth at first. It was like a memoir. And then I wrote this viral article entitled My Husband Died at Age 34. Here are 40 life lessons I learned from it. And it was based on the memoir, and it went viral. Like over 50 million people around the world. I got messages from all over the world about how much this article had touched people's lives. You know, it took on a life of its own. And then that's when an agent said to me, well, this is the book. This is the book. Like, put down the memoir. This is the book you should write, you know? Yeah. So that's what happened. And that's what basically started this journey and turned into the first edition of the book. And now as you know, it's morphed into much more than that. But that's basically in terms of my personal experience, how I started on this journey.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Keisha. It's very touching, and you represent strength, you represent wisdom, and you just represent, you know, just tranquility and just overall, like, you present strength. And we're very blessed to be here with you today. And thank you for sharing your story with us. For someone that's experiencing loss, especially mothers, and, you know, at a time where you just had a newborn baby, how do you overcome that? How do you deal with that loss?
Yeah, well, from a practical standpoint, like, I'll say this, like, get the support you need. Absolutely depend on those around you to support you. Don't feel like you have to, like, put on this strong facade of, like, I don't need help. I can do this. I leaned on those around me. Like, family became very important around me. Those relationships, those friendships that you can call on. And people took turns. Like, in the days and weeks following, people came by with food. People took turns with babysitting so I could sleep. Because as you can imagine, like, I was grieving, breastfeeding at the same time, because this was an 8-week-old. And I couldn't sleep because I was in grief. I had gone through too much of a traumatic experience. Like, I saw them trying to resuscitate him. I remember going through the motions that most people go through when you go through grief. Like, is there anything more I could have done? What? How come I didn't see more of these symptoms? Things like that, you know, ruminating, which I talk about in the book. And so from a practical standpoint, it's really get critical about getting the help you need. What are the things that will make your life lighter? What are the things you can say no to for a while? And I talk about saying no in the book. And sometimes when, you know, I hear people talk about saying no, people will think, oh, say no to everybody around you. No, that's not necessarily what it means. It just means sometimes say no to the things that cause you more stress and overwork and burden you. So if people are offering to come by with a meal, that can relieve the stress. And if people are offering to, you know, babysit so you can rest, say yes. There are times in our lives where we absolutely have to say yes. So those are some of the things from a practical standpoint. And two, I'll go back to the holistic world method and mindset, because that's what I had to do to get over grief. It's like, well, what activities enrich me? What are the things, whether it's taking a nature walk, to just get some fresh air, to get some fresh perspective. Walking helped me so much. Eating healthy, you know, filling my body with food that was nutritious. Because when we go through grief or a loss or any kind of crisis like that, then our health takes a hit, which is also not good. And then it leads to more stress and more fatigue. So it's also nourishing the body, the mind. And of course, there's a spiritual renewal aspect of it. And I emphasize gratitude a lot. And it's hard to do when you're going through a crisis or any kind of loss, but it's very, very important. It can make the difference between whether you strengthen your mindset, strengthen your resilience, or whether you slide back down into more victim, victim, victim mode. And that victim, victim mode is, it's okay to have those pity parties. I talked about that in the book. But at some point, the pity parties have to end. And at some point we have to be like, well, this is my current reality. How am I going to make the best of it? And so I talk a lot about, you know, just empowering yourself with a mindset that lifts you up and strengthens you, because it's easy to dwell on the negative messaging. Why is this happening to me? I don't see my friends going through this. Why me? Why is this happening? Well, you know what? It is happening. It's the current reality. How are you going to make the best of it right now in the situation that you're in? So that's kind of, you know, in a nutshell, you know, the steps that I would outline. And of course, again, you know, just being very aware and intentional about daily actions also help.
It is very powerful how you took a time that you could have chosen to just lay down and not get back up and just, you know, give up on everything, that you decided to just use it as purpose, use it as your strength to be of service to other women, to individuals, and to create this beautiful company, this beautiful book that you have, to continue to inspire women, continue to inspire those that are dealing with hardship, and not to let it defeat them, but instead use it as a tool to push harder. And I love that your mission emphasizes that. And continue to be of service to your community through advocating for, you know, holistic wealth, through advocating for a healthy mindset. How do financial success and overall well-being intersect? And what advice would you give someone that is navigating both of those aspects?
You know, I know different people define success differently, and we're trying to be more holistic about how we define success. But I think, you know, financial success means different things to different people. It can be like, if I'm a millionaire, I'm financially successful. If I've reached a certain net worth, I'm financially successful. But at the end of the day, I think what matters more is that whole concept of financial independence and the concept of financial resilience, which I talk about in a whole chapter in the new and expanded updated book. Financial independence helps us to basically overcome if we need to, right? We're not dependent on one income. We're not dependent on one job. And it enables us to be more financially resilient. And I think that more of an important metric than just saying, am I financially successful? Because as you know, a lot of people are financially successful, but they're lacking in other ways. We see celebrities that commit suicide because of mental health issues. We see people who are very financially successful, you know, just very unhappy in other ways. And so that's why I think this whole concept of holistic wealth is so important, because, you know, we need to be wealthy in all of those areas to really be truly happy and to truly live a meaningful life. So when we talk about overall well-being and financial success, I think that's kind of the conversation around, especially for women, you know, where the conversation needs to be more around holistic wealth and saying, yeah, I'm just financially successful, but yet still I'm so struggling. I'm struggling in other areas. I'm struggling as a mother. I'm struggling as a wife. My relationships are in tatters. You know, my mental well-being is poor. And I don't really feel like I'm living that meaningful, authentic life. And so that's why I think focusing more on this holistic concept is far more important than just thinking about financial success in a vacuum. Because of course we want women to be empowered, we want women to be successful, and we want women to know that they're, you know, they're living happy, healthy, successful lives. But I think the concept of bringing these things together, these critical aspects, is so much more important. And I think for sustainability and financial longevity, because people can lose wealth. If they get too much in debt, people can lose wealth because of mental health or physical health issues. A more sustainable approach than just focusing on financial success.
Yes, it's balancing both. Because as you said, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't know how to balance your well-being, it's just having one half and missing the other.
Yeah.
For our listeners, for the concept of holistic wealth being new to them, how can they assess their current identity or areas that they need to improve on when approaching holistic wealth?
Okay, yeah. So I think when we think about all the pillars again, it's great. And, you know, at the end of each year, I remember telling everyone to do like a holistic wealth audit, a holistic wealth evaluation of your life. And I remember touching on the holistic wealth portfolio earlier, because I think everyone needs one regardless of the field. Whether you're in a career or business, everyone needs a holistic wealth portfolio. So if we start with a holistic wealth audit, and we know the critical pillars of holistic wealth, and there's, you know, mind mapping techniques that we can use to break it down. You know, write the critical areas down and write about, you know, what your goals are and how you're feeling about each area. So if you do personal finances in one column, you know, if you do your mental health, if you do your physical health, your relationship, key areas, your life purpose, just put that down and then really map out where you think the gaps are. Because I think we can easily do that. And even with your spiritual life, map out where the gaps are. Are you committing enough time every single day to your spiritual self, to enriching that spiritual aspect of you? Are you really doing that? And if you're not, then what can you do to enhance that? Think about your personal finances and where you are now with your current debt. Think about your financial goals, your savings, your retirement, what you want that to look like. And in the Holistic Wealth Workbook, there is a budgeting spreadsheet available. Think about money coming in, money going out. What are you saving? How much are you putting down towards paying down debt? Are you really doing enough to meet those goals? So there's ways that people can do a full holistic wealth audit. And of course, you know, the Institute on Holistic Wealth is there to help. People reach out to me all the time if they want like personal one-on-one, even just to get them started. But it's critical to be self-aware in terms of your question about where those gaps are and what we need to do, because each one reinforces the other. It's just like when you think about your body as an organism. If there's one thing not working right, you know, if your brain isn't working right, if your heart isn't working right, then it's going to affect the whole body. It's the same thing with holistic wealth. It's the same thing with our overall well-being. You know, our finances aren't in a vacuum from our mental health, because absolutely people are suffering from insomnia and various physical manifestations of having their personal finances upended. So we know everything is interrelated. So it's key to do that holistic wealth audit. And of course, if people are listening in and they need help with that, the Institute on Holistic Wealth is here for that. And, you know, listening into the Holistic Wealth podcast episodes too is also very helpful, as is the Holistic Wealth personal workbook and the main book as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Keisha, for explaining that for us in depth. And I'm sorry for making this question so long originally. But as an author, what is your main goal? As an author of the Holistic Wealth book, what is your main goal, and what do you want our listeners or your readers to take from
it? Yeah, so, you know, my main goal is to basically spread this message. And I would love for people to consume it in a way that it's accessible and practical for them. So if you want to start off with getting the book and then tuning into the podcast and getting the workbook, and then if you want to go deeper into the material to then become certified in holistic wealth or certified in the trauma of money or holistic healing, whichever aspect is there that you feel would suit you best with your background, your skills, your experience. Because honestly, I would love if we all took this on to be able to help our communities more, to be able to help our families more, to be able to help people around us more, because I think it's so needed. So that's kind of my whole mission with this message, because it's such an important message for resilience and building resilient, strong communities or families. You know, we can have family activities that are geared around this. Every family can have like their own personal mission statement, or their family mission statement, and then basically plot out, you know, activities for the family in terms of getting your family on the right track and getting your family to live that holistically wealthy lifestyle. So it can become a family endeavor, and it's really about enriching and basically, you know, having that holistically wealthy lifestyle, so that we can live more meaningful lives and leave the legacy and the impact that we want to leave, which I know a lot of people are interested in doing.
Thank you so much, Keisha. We appreciate you explaining that in depth. As far as the topic of feeling enough or being enough, how does the idea of enough tie into holistic wealth? And what tips do you have for reframing it in both the physical and financial aspect?
Yeah, no, that's a huge concept. Like I talk about, you know, there's one chapter in the book where I talk about comparing yourself to others and feeling enough. And I think the first line of that chapter, you know, goes into the fact that each one of us, and I said it, you know, earlier, and I'm going to say it again because it's so important, that each one of us was placed here to manifest a certain unique purpose, and that each one of us is made up unique to manifest that purpose. So from that perspective, and that's a very spiritual thing as well, we're born enough. We are absolutely born enough. We don't need, you know, any external validation. And it's so unfortunate that so many people go throughout life just yearning for that external validation, not knowing that they're already enough. You're already equipped, because you were born to manifest this. You're already equipped. You just need to build on that to be able to fulfill that purpose in life. And so holistic wealth is all about that, because purpose and our life purpose, and each one of us has a unique life purpose, is the bedrock of holistic wealth. And if we think about life purpose in that way, and the fact that we're each here to manifest something unique, then it means there's no need to be looking at what somebody else is doing or trying to get into somebody else's lane or think, oh yeah, she did something similar, so she's my competition, which happens so much, right? Like so much of what we do in life, we think we're competing with somebody else, which is, it's ridiculous. So what we need to do is focus on our personal mission And everything that's geared in like the first part of the book is geared around you are enough. It's unbelievable, you know, especially as women, when we go through any setbacks, we think, am I enough? Do I have what it takes? How can I feel like, and I went through a whole episode on a Holistic World podcast about imposter syndrome, which is also, you know, a big thing rooted in spirituality as well, I think. And so many of us suffer through that question of, am I enough? And that's what this framework also helps with. It helps with you knowing and coming to terms with the fact that here's something that's giving you that toolbox to basically become the best version of yourself, to basically become, you know, or fulfill that life purpose that you're here to fulfill. Knowing that you're already enough, knowing that all you need to do is claim it and really go out there and implement it. So absolutely, I think this is why this is a framework for resilience as well, because we need that kind of inner confidence, knowing and that inner knowing that we are really enough. There's really nothing to question about, you know, whether we can or whether we're enough. And the book really speaks to that a lot.
As we conclude this interview, can you please share some words of wisdom with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know so many people are still suffering through whatever setbacks people had during COVID-19. And whether it's small, whether it's a job loss, whether it's health related, whether it's money, we're going through a period of high inflation now. I know everybody, I know so many people are concerned about that. When is this period going to end? Prices are so high. But what I would, you know, leave everyone with is just shoring up that mindset and thinking, and a critical part of the holistic world mindset is thinking, you know what, this isn't permanent. It's going to pass. This is just temporary. How do I set up myself so that when this passes, I'm on good footing, I'm on good standing, whether it's in my personal finances, whether it's with my relationship, my marriage, whether it's the relationship with my kids. And we all need to basically shore up that, whether it's from, you know, like a spiritual perspective or getting our relationships back on track, getting our finances back on track, getting our career or business back on track. And so that's what I would leave people with now, is basically the shoring up that mindset. And just remembering on a day-to-day basis is thinking about filling that holistic world bank account with people, with things, with food, with experiences that enrich us on a day-to-day basis, not things that are continuing to deplete us. Because sometimes we do the same things over and over again, expecting a different result, and it's not going to change. You can't change that person over there. You can't change a toxic friend. You can't change a toxic job. But what can you do to implement in your life the changes that you need to become more whole, to live a more meaningful life? So that's what I would leave everyone with. And I'm hoping that you all do, you know, tune into the podcast and get your copy of the book. And I'm hoping that, you know, people are enriched by this episode on the Sunday Service podcast. And yeah, it's absolutely what I would tell everyone listening in.
Thank you so much, Keisha. Please let our listeners know how they can connect with you, whether it is your social media or your business information.
Yeah, so my personal website is keishablair.com. And if you want to connect with me, it's info@keishablair.com. That's my email address. And the Institute's website, I think I had mentioned that, instituteonholisticwealth.com. We also have a website for the podcast. That features kind of like the top episodes to listen to. The most recent episodes is Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm on social media at Keisha O'Blair, Holistic Wealth. And that's for both Twitter and Instagram. And I'm on Facebook. It's Keisha O'Blair. And of course, the Holistic Wealth Podcast is available on all streaming platforms.
Thank you so much, Keisha, for being here with us. So you guys, please be sure to connect with Keisha after you listen to this episode. It has been such a pleasure speaking with you, Keisha. Thank you so much for blessing us here with your presence. Most importantly, thank you for educating us on what holistic wealth means and what it embodies and how we can, you know, benefit from engaging holistic health and just taking on the whole aspect of what you share with us in your book. Honestly, I am enjoying your book and I'll continue to finish it. So thank you so much for sharing your book with me. And for our listeners, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Please be sure to click follow and share this episode and other episodes with your family and friends. Until next time, hope all of you have a blessed day.